Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whoop, whoop! He is back indeed. He is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on no sleep, on new dad no sleep. But, Key, I'm impressed. You're just hammering through it. Way to go.
Yeah, man. Y'all thought I was snoring a minute ago, though.
Yeah, I was a little concerned.
They said it was your mic.
It wasn't me.
It sounded a lot like snoring.
Yeah, well, I'm put it this way. When I get up off this air, I'm going to get some Z's. That's for damn sure. There's enough people in the house they can handle the baby before I get some Z's.
You can't get caught up for sure. Congratulations and welcome back. Good to have you back in the mornings with us. Now, it's been really interesting to see the different reactions from the different groups of people to everything that we've been discussing for the last several weeks. NASCAR, I think, took a really significant step yesterday when they banned the Confederate flag. Now, that it's still here and that it was still part of their culture is kind of crazy. Because think about this, guys. You don't see Confederate flags at NFL games. You don't see Confederate flags at Major League Baseball games or NBA games. And that doesn't mean that the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL don't have racist fans. I'm sure every sport has a faction of their fans that are bigots. There's no question. But at a NASCAR event, it's a sea of Confederate flags. Exactly, Keith. That's what I mean. Imagine if you went to an Atlanta Falcons game. And everybody in the stands was waving a Confederate flag. You'd be like, what the hell is going on around here?
Yeah, I think it'd be some violence take place if that was to happen.
In NASCAR, there's no violence. In NASCAR, it was just accepted as part of the culture of that sport. And NASCAR had one of its drivers, Bubba Wallace, say, that's got to go, man. That's got to go. And they did it. And they did it, which is very different than what some other people have done. Jerry Jones still hasn't said anything. Dabo Swinney was defending one of his assistant coaches for repeating the N-word. That not everybody is doing the right thing. NASCAR did. Despite the fact that a significant chunk of its fans really deeply care about that flag.
Yeah, NASCAR did do the right thing. But NASCAR is NASCAR, right? I mean, there is no owner of NASCAR. Like, there is no owner of the NFL, but 32 owners make up the league. So the Jerry Jones is hiding behind Roger Goodell's statement, because if you asked him, he probably would say, we already issued that. He would probably try to use that.
But Jerry Jones doesn't hide behind anybody. Jerry Jones.
No, I understand that, but his cover right now is the shield in the statement about the league issuing after they was forced by my nephew and his crew, forced them into making that statement. Where NASCAR did it as a group, as their own entity, where the owners of the vehicles and the teams have not issued a statement. There's no team that's issued a statement. Their whole entire league or NASCAR has issued the statement. So they, too, are hiding behind NASCAR.
That's not true.
Well, explain. Why wouldn't it be true?
Well, Bubba Wallace, the person we're talking about, his ownership group, they've painted the car black.
Okay,
it says Black Lives Matter on the car. So that's, in a lot of ways, even a bigger statement.
Yes, that's an individual and his team, right, did that. Where Jerry is hiding behind the league. The Dallas Cowboys issue whatever they issue, but Jerry hasn't said anything like people were expecting him to, because he was the front line guy. He was the first one to step out front and say, you know, you got to put your toes on the line and you got to respect the flag and the military and all that. Probably embarrassed.
I'm just not going with that, Key. I'm not giving him that cover. Jerry Jones.
No, I'm not saying you're giving
permission.
Him the cover. He's hiding cover, is what he's doing.
But it's not hiding. He's letting us know how he feels by saying nothing.
Yes, exactly. I'm snatching the wig right off this dress.
I understand, because he's trying to use the excuse. He's trying to use that excuse of the NFL made a statement, why should I have to? That's what he's going to try and sell you. He's going to try and give you that. I ain't saying you got to buy it.
I don't know.
But he certainly, by his actions right now, he certainly is. That's certainly what he's, you know, positioning himself.
We pay attention to him when he speaks. So that means we pay attention to him when he doesn't speak. And as Travis said earlier, he's as smart in terms of and as keen as being media savvy as any owner in any sport. So he knows his silence is saying something. The question is, why is he trying to say something to those people? Those people who would be offended if he tweeted out Black Lives Matter. He's trying to keep
Let's hope that he ain't doing that.
Guys, is he trying to stake out that middle ground that existed a month ago that does not exist anymore? two weeks ago. Yeah, I did. Whatever the number of weeks is that, and you've said it before, LZ, it's not okay to say, hey, look, I don't feel that way. Now you need to make a statement or have actions that say, I'm going to aggressively root out these problems in my organization. I am an anti-racist, and I need to make sure that everybody understands that this stuff will not be tolerated. This silence feels like him trying to live in that place that maybe doesn't exist anymore. That, yeah, I hire Black men and women. I pay Black women and women. I like Black men and women. I have friends, but at the same time, I don't want to say anything because those guys over there that maybe feel a little differently, they're buying tickets and they're buying cowboy, you know, baseball caps. And I want to make sure that I don't rub them the wrong way. So I'm just going to sit here and say nothing. The problem is what may have worked a month or 2 weeks ago doesn't work anymore. And Jerry Jones is too smart of a dude to say that he doesn't know that. And so he's choosing that. It's not just I'm going to sit here and say nothing and hope that everybody, you know, gets distracted by the next thing that comes down the road. He's deciding not to say anything. And let's take a listen to Ryan Clark, because Ryan Clark is saying that by not saying anything, he's telling us exactly how he feels.
For Jerry Jones to come out right now and make a statement and say that Black Lives Matter, to make a statement and say that there needs to be change in this world, I feel that would be going against what he believes. See, Jerry Jones is doing what the owners do. Jerry Jones is focusing on the people that he cares about. Those are the people that sit in the rooms that he sits in. Those are the people that gets to make decisions on what those black faces do. He's going to stand where he's always stood. He's not going to let the pressure of society, the pressure of his players, or the pressure of actual people making changes. He's going to stay where Jerry Jones is. He's going to be on his yacht. He's going to be rich, and he's going to be white.
Is Ryan Clark right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, he told no lies. Listen, let me tell you something about the middle that Jerry Jones perhaps is trying to ride with, all right? This is what the middle does. The middle says, we want to count slaves as people. The other side says, we don't want to count slaves as people. So what's the compromise? Black people are three-fifths human. We've been doing this middle ground compromise BS with people like Jerry Jones since the foundation of this here nation. And I know that people are going to run up and say, Jerry's not racist, and I'm not calling Jerry a racist. I'm saying the more he is silent, the more I feel like I'm three-fifths human, because he's trying to compromise on my humanity. He's trying to compromise on our dignity as a community and as a people. He's trying to find a middle ground with people who hate us. Why would you want a middle ground with that? For money? I get it. Don't want to blow up your paper. Fine. I got it. But it's awfully hard to sit here and think positive about you when Black Lives Matter on Sunday, but on Monday you ain't got ish to say.
Well,
it's just hard, Monday, man. I'm just going to be 100 with it.
On Sunday and Monday, because, you know, he's trying to play on Monday. He's trying to be on TV as much as he can. So you mean on Tuesday.
Right. On Tuesday.
I hope for the life of me, man, that he comes up with one that'll make us go, okay, I see what he was doing it, on the positive side. I just hope, because I like Jerry, and, you know, I would hate to think
yo, yo,
that
yo.
that he is aligning himself up in the wrong way to be scrutinized and fail at whatever attempt it is that he's trying to pull off.
What do you think he's going to say, Key? I mean, of all of us,
I don't know what he's going to say.
Best. You're the one that's been spent time with him. You worked for him.
The only thing I could think of is he's hiding behind what Roger Goodell said. That's the only thing I could think of, is that he's going to try and that's his cover, is we issued a statement as a league. That would be his cover. That's the only thing I could think of, because not really. What other owners have really stepped out, right? None of them have really. Coaches have said stuff, but I'm talking about like owners, not owners. Teams. Owners.
Right. I hear what you're saying, and I understand the distinction. But Jerry Jones is not the same as the owner of the, you know, pick your team, of the San Francisco 49ers or the Oakland Raiders. The Jerry Jones is the NFL. I know Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the league. Jerry is the league. Jerry calls the shots.
Yeah, Jerry's one of the guys that certainly calls the shots in the league, right? But has Mr. Kraft said anything? Has Mr. Rooney said anything? Or you know what I'm saying? Like, who said something from a ownership, not team PR releasing a statement, but from an ownership other than like a Mark Cuban? Mark Cuban said what he said.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking for from the owners, not from the organization. But they can hide behind the league and the organization and say, well, that's what I said. We did it collectively. So I'm just hoping that that's not what Jerry is trying to do.
Reggie Bush is back with USC. What took so long? We'll try to figure it out next. In the morning show on 710 ESPN. So yesterday was a day that was filled with breaking news. I mean, we must have had six or seven, but today is our first moment of breaking news. LZ.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
We're having technical difficulties on my button, so bear with us.
Do you guys remember that song, Need You Now, was really popular by Lady Antebellum?
Yeah, I do.
Can you play a little bit of it, Jorge, to kind of wet their whistle for those who may not remember? I texted to you. Never mind. So it's called Need You Now. I texted to you. It's just right there.
Jorge's having a rough day. Jorge's having a rough day. Let him hear you.
So anyway,
right.
It's a very, very popular song, hit number one in the charts, made like a ton of money, a lot of Grammys, the whole nine. The name of the group is Lady Antebellum. I like the song, but always had problems with the name. Well, today, Lady Antebellum has posted on their Instagram account that they are changing their names from Lady Antebellum, and as you listen to the last part of that, you get a sense of where I'm going, to Lady A. Because according to them, they didn't know its correlation to slavery until all the protests and the information is coming out.
LZ, I applaud them for changing the name and deciding that, you know, we don't want to be associated with the Antebellum South. I get it. They didn't know. Come on, man.
They said, "We named our band after the Southern Antebellum-style home where we took our first photos. As musicians, it reminded us all of the music born in the South that influenced us." And we got some other words, but "we are regretful and embarrassed to say that we did not take into account the associations that weighed down this word referring to the period of history before the Civil War, which includes slavery. We are deeply sorry for
which
hurt
includes
this cause
slavery.
And which includes, sir, which to me is all about slavery.
Come on, man. There's a whole lot going on, including slavery.
I enjoy the NBA All-Star Weekend, including the basketball playing and the party. That is essentially what they're saying. But I'm only pointing this out because I have just been critical of country music and their big stars not saying anything. I don't know if they're listening to the show or not, but they just posted this online. One of country music's biggest fans is changing its name to distance itself from the Antebellum South and slavery. So maybe Bubba Wallace's tweet, maybe his request, has actually started to really change some things for some people. and that's part of society. And maybe, just maybe, some of the worst case scenarios we're thinking is going to happen with the enforcement of this Confederate flag ban, maybe it won't be as bad as we think.
Hey, NASCAR says no Confederate flags, then I'm willing to believe anything else, because I didn't think that was going to happen.
Man, every day is something new, right? He got the changing of a name. You got the Confederate flag going away in NASCAR. You got Walmart unlocking the key box to multicultural products. I didn't see it all, man. I didn't never even thought that that was possible.
So Hennessy's not going to be in the cage anymore?
No, not Hennessy.
Oh.
Multicultural products. You know, like hairs and essential gels and things like that. Things that you need that they think we was going to walk into the store and steal. That's just crazy to me, though. The thought process and the thinking that go behind this, with somebody really sitting in a meeting and say, hey, I think the best thing to do. Excuse me?
Were they stolen before? I mean.
Yeah, but it's white people. I've seen white people steal many a time out of stores. You a damn fool, boy.
Yes.
You lost your mind, Rod. You really white people. You really think you white, huh? We don't really trick you into believing that.
My people have stolen many, many things many over things. Many, many centuries. Yeah, we.
But this is a page.
You guys are not in here stealing studio moose.
Man,
well, I don't know about that, but we steal.
Like, we really gonna steal Stay Soft Row? Some hair grease, man. The green, remember the green grease? The green when it comes in a little jar. Like, we really gonna steal that? Like, they had to put that behind lock and key. And now all of a sudden they had to issue a statement saying they're no longer doing that anymore. Oh, okay. All right. I don't go into Walmart any damn way, so it's fine.
When you hold up the mirror and tell people, look, and they try to look away, and you got to grab them and snatch them and say, look, they have two choices, to either look in the mirror and be proud of what they see, or go, you know what, I'm going to need to change my name. I'm going to need to take this hair grease. I need to set this hair grease free. Like, when you force people to look, there's no choice.
I'm still stuck on the including slavery part of that statement. I mean, my goodness. I can't even wrap my head around that.
The Civil War, including slavery.
Yeah, because it was a. It was an economic end. Anyway, let's move to Reggie Bush, because that doesn't make any sense to me, but that makes more sense to me than what Lady Antebellum just said. Reggie is back as a member of the USC family. His penalty basically expired. It was a 10-year penalty where USC had to pretend he didn't exist, and on the day of the anniversary, 10 years later, they welcomed him back. Here's the athletic director, Mike Bone, saying that part of it was Reggie expressed regret for what happened.
And is sharing the challenges of what this meant to him and the devastation he experienced, knowing that USC was heavily penalized because of the situations connected to his actions. And I think that was really important to us, and being able to hear that from him. And I'm anxious for him to continue to share his thoughts and views like he has recently, even as recent as today, but other stories that have come out about his situation, how he feels about it. And I salute him for his candor in putting that together.
Reggie had to say his remorse, that he had to say, hey, really sorry about all that, to get back into the fold, it's inexplicable to me. Reggie Bush broke the rules, and we all agree that the rules are stupid because the rules have changed. What Reggie Bush did is now basically cool. Yet here we are 10 years after the fact, and it's like, well, you know, Reggie expresses regret for what happened. No, you should be expressing regret to Reggie that it took this long to get him back in. Reggie is the one that deserves some apologies, not USC, not anybody in the athletic department. You should have fought like hell to defend him. And when he got booted out, you should have been making noise every year about how it's a bunch of bull that he wasn't allowed back earlier than he was, that Reggie had to come in and say, hey, guys, really sorry about all this. It's ridiculous.
And it's not like USC actually did anything. It expired. the 10-year mark came, and Reggie had already known the 10-year mark was coming at some point in time. He was anticipating it so he could get back to being a USC guy and not feeling outed by the university. So Mike Bone, Carol Folt, the athletic department, Clay Helton didn't do anything to bring Reggie home, as they like to call it. Reggie was coming home because it was a did nothing. They didn't write any letters. They didn't speed up the time. He wasn't, instead of getting a 10-year sentence, he didn't get a 3-year because they proved it. Nothing. Nothing at all. It just expired. But now we want to take credit and make it seem like we came in on the white horse and saved the day.
And guys, I can't stress this enough. This was a layup from a PR perspective. You could have went ham and said, you know, blah, 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 and I'm glad that players like Reggie don't have to suffer like this anymore, and they should be able to use their image, and we've benefited, and blah, 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 and there's not a Power 5 school that didn't benefit. But that was this moment, and we would have been like going, okay, Mike, okay, okay. But now we're just running around like going,
because I asked.
Same old Mike. And well, it's unfortunate. Because it was a great moment that could have been had, and it got squandered.
And Reggie is enthusiastic about his return. I'm sure that we've all seen him around doing other interviews and saying that, yeah, he's excited to be back. And that's fine. Reggie can feel about this however he wants. And if Reggie wants to say, you know, I'm thrilled to be back, I'm glad time expired, I'm glad to be welcome back, good. That's Reggie's decision 100% to make. That being said, I could understand if he was incredibly angry about this whole thing. I would understand it completely if he said, yes, it's nice to be back, but let me tell you something about all of this, and went off. I would have no problem with that at all, because he was the one that got – yes, because nobody defended him. Nobody said this is the – Mike Bone could have come out yesterday, like Kelsey said, and said, look, today's 10 years to the day, and it shouldn't have been 10 minutes that we dealt with this stuff. Today's the first day I can speak freely on this without worrying about the NCAA implementing one of their other stupid penalties. Like this one was a stupid penalty, and just hammered at them. Instead it was – well, Reggie said he's sorry, so welcome back. Give me a break. Give me a break. Dabo wore the T-shirt, Key. Your reaction to Dabo's defense of his Football Matters T-shirt. That's next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Still a long way to go. We still got the better part of an entire day to vote on the latest snake draft, but I at least am in the mix at this point. I don't know, Raj, if it was you pleading on my behalf to have the people let me back into these things, or whether I just picked the right movies, but I got a shot this time.
I think it's a mix of both. You picked the right movies for sure. Super Bowl III was one of the worst, most disappointing movies I ever saw, and that was your last pick. But definitely the message to reach out to tug the strings of people's hearts and forgiving, and in the last couple of weeks, I think you've got a chance, Trav. America is ready to forgive you.
Well, I especially will since they dropped the Confederate flag yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Travis. If you're ever going to get it, this is it.
Yeah, well, I'm listening.
I'm looking at this stuff on ESPN, and I'm doing better. I just can't do nothing but laugh, man. Look at these people. Oh, man, they just had the NASCAR thing. Flags flying everywhere. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
To your point, the flags are flying everywhere, and NASCAR said, no, we're not doing that anymore. It's got to go. Good for NASCAR.
Yeah, but okay, so they can't come into the track. Are they allowed outside as their tailgate?
Well, so the tailgate at a race is actually inside the track. It's on the infield, right?
Is
so
it?
The,
right. I don't remember.
Yeah, so they're inside, so they're coming into the facility with these flags on the sides and whatnot. They're going to get them in. It won't be that hard to smuggle the flag in there. The question is what happened once it starts to fly, whether NASCAR will be aggressive in their enforcement. And which brings us to this. Dabo Swinney was also finding, he found himself in a situation where he had to talk about one of his assistant coaches using the N-word, and he tried to explain that. He also had to go and try to explain what his Football Matters t-shirt, and instead of saying, you know what, I got it wrong, I'm not doing this for that purpose, he tried to explain exactly what his Football Matters t-shirt meant. Take a listen to Dabo.
I had a t-shirt on that someone took a picture of me, that asked to take a picture. And it's a shirt I've had for a couple of years. And I would just say any insinuation that I was trying to mock the Black Lives Movement, Black Lives Matter movement, is just an attack on my character. Just an attack on my character. And really sad.
I hate to be that guy. I'll be the laugh. But he couldn't even get it right, right? He said Black Lives Movement. He couldn't even get the Black Lives Matter part right before he had to correct himself. Now, I don't know if he was just nervous or what, but he didn't even get that right to start with. Now, boy, you up to it in his boots. That's all I can say.
He's talking about his character. He says it's anyone who suggests that it's attacking his character. You're the same man that had your assistant coach use the N-word and didn't punish him. You're assaulting your own damn character. We don't have to do anything. Now, of course, he's going to try and blame the media. The media's fault he didn't suspend or fire the coach, or that was the media's fault. He's trying to pretend he didn't realize Football Matter, Black Lives Matter. He can try and blame the media, but he's destroying his own character. Damn, or not even destroying it. He's revealing it. He's revealing his character.
I feel just bamboozled, shammed. Everything, man.
Hoodwinked.
Because I've been a Dabo fan ever since I met him. I've been like a guy in his corner. Like, oh, yeah, he getting this program turned around. I remember before they got on the national spotlight, when they first started recruiting my son, I was telling all my boys, I'm like, man, Clemson going to be cool. They're going to be, man, they going to be something to reckon with. And my boys are like, man, they ain't going to win but 8 games a year. Man, nobody want to hear that blankety, blankety, blank. And the next thing you know, they caught fire. But how they caught fire is by recruiting.
But getting the right players.
Getting the brothers from Georgia and Florida and certain parts of South and North Carolina, New Jersey, Virginia, pluck one out of Tennessee. It's going to certainly affect that recruiting moving forward, especially it's a national story. This ain't a local Clemson Tiger school magazine story. This is a national story of a national highest paid coach in college sports having a person on his staff using a derogatory term toward a player, but not really toward a player, but even using the word as a whole. I tell Jennifer all the time, who happens to be white, who happens to be my wife, we might be in the car and a rap song come on and she get, and I have to turn to say, you do understand that is not acceptable. I will push you out of this car. You know, just talking to her, letting her know that we not going to do that, girl. And she go, oh, I know, I just got caught up in the moment of rap. I'm like, no, it's not acceptable. You cannot, okay, just because you hear it come out of a black person's mouth and he utters a word to another black person, that you now have the privilege and feel like you're right to do it as well. I had a conversation with somebody last week about this same thing, about her daughter saying it in a rap song and saying it. I said, no, don't. She didn't even finish telling me the story. And I said, don't even think about it, because it ain't the damn same. And you don't have the right, period.
Yes. I want to go back to what he was saying about the t-shirt for a second, though. That when you, Key, you pointed out that he had the, you know, he said the Black Lives Movement, and then he corrected himself, and then he said, I'm not trying to mock the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay, this is part of the problem, and I have been guilty of this in the past, but in the last several weeks, I think that I've learned a thing or two, and one of those things that I've learned is that it's not okay to just say, hey, look, I'm not saying it, I don't hate black people. I don't think like they do. It's not a matter of you not mocking it. It's a matter of you not understanding what it means. And by continuing to wear the t-shirt, Football Matters, whether you are doing it maliciously or not, it's lessening the Black Lives Matter movement. It's making It's making it less than. It's turning it into a slogan. It's turning into a turn of phrase as opposed to saying, I get this.
No. You're supposed to throw that away immediately. You're supposed to get rid of that.
You're not weakening our movement. You're not weakening. What you're doing is exposing yourself. Our movement's still strong, whether you wear that T-shirt or not. We're going to keep it rolling. Keeping it rolling.
Yeah, but by
making a joke out of it, by making it, football
matters. You revealed your character.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. He's not sitting up there, maliciously screaming and ranting and railing against black men and women, and this it should never happen, and this is, all lives. It's not that, but by any lessening of the phraseology of it, anytime you try to spin off of it, this is not a catchphrase from a movie. Okay, this is not something. This is not "May the Force be with you."
And this is why
this is talking about human beings, and you're talking about football with a football matters. No, dude, it doesn't have to be vitriolic. It doesn't have to be malicious. It doesn't have to be filled with hate to be deeply wrong. And that's what he doesn't get.
And it's very simple and plain, though. It's real easy. You got a T-shirt. You've been hearing Black Lives Matter for the longest. You've been hearing negative about all of Lives Matter when people run that out there and try to play that game. And you got a T-shirt that says football matters. You need to take that T-shirt, take it out of the drawer, and throw it away as soon as you have the opportunity to. But you failed to do that. You put it on. And you took a picture with it, with somebody. For whatever reasons and however, whenever you got it, maybe there's many coaches he said he had it for several years. Maybe there's other coaches that have it, but guess what?
Crosstalk with George Sedano coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Okay, George, before we move on to some other things, you have to cast your vote. We did another snake draft this morning for the worst movie sequels of all time.
Ooh, okay? Okay.
Here is team number one.
All right.
The Matrix 2, The Matrix 3, Independence Day 2, and all of the Transformers movies after the first couple.
Okay.
Team number two is Caddyshack 2.
Yeah.
Godfather 3.
Yeah.
Jaws 3D.
Yeah.
And Superman 3.
Ooh, this is tough.
Then team number three is Police Academy 7, Speed 2, Cruise Control, Big Mama's House 2, and Basic Instinct 2.
Okay, give me number one again.
Two of the Matrix sequels, 2 and 3, the Independence Day follow-up, and the Transformers movies after the first couple.
Okay, so I actually think Matrix 2 isn't terrible. I think 3 is awful. I fell asleep. And then the Transformers movies, they're just popcorn flicks. They're Michael Bay blowing things up. I mean, I would say 3 because I didn't even know they made a Basic Instinct 2. So there you go.
That's Key's team. You chose Key's team. So yeah, Key gets one more vote.
Look at that, Key. I got you for once.
I haven't won one of these things in several months, George. So I'm hoping that today's my day. And I'm actually, as far as the votes go, I'm in the hunt right now. Mine was the Caddyshack, Godfather, Jaws, Superman.
Who was in Basic Instinct 2?
Sharon Stone.
No way.
The grandmother.
Yeah.
But who was the male lead in that movie?
Not Michael Douglas. How about that?
It wasn't Michael Douglas. It was somebody else.
I got to look this up now. I feel like I'm very interested.
She must have. I was like, I'm looking it up too. It's so funny. I'm like, going, she was hard up for cash. And she did
the cast
too.
The cast for Basic Instinct 2 is, let's see here. It's Sharon Stone. It's the male lead is a man by the name of Stan Collymore.
Oh, I don't know.
Never heard of him since then, huh?
Yeah.
So we're done here, right?
Stan Collymore is
your lead. So we're on a scale of 1 to 10, NASCAR acting as swiftly as they did to ban the Confederate flag is what?
I would say it's arguably the biggest thing that sports could have done, right? I mean, if you really think about it, it might be the most significant change in the world of sports. I mean, in no other world are we celebrating or even honoring something as grotesque as, hey, the side that wanted to keep slavery. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems silly to me that that continues to be a thing. There's a reason there's museums for that kind of stuff. They don't need to be, it doesn't need to be celebrated like it had been celebrated. So I would say it's very significant.
I mean, if you spend any time in Germany, and I have, and I've mm-hmm. been to Berlin, I've been yeah. to where the Berlin Wall is, I don't see very many people celebrating Nazism.
Right, right. They're in the it's in the museums. Know, it is in the museums, but you're right. Yeah, that's
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not, you know, there's a place for that. It's called in the history books. It's called in museums. It's
right.
not called mm-hmm. in places of honor and worship.
Agreed.
Well, what'll be interesting to see is what the enforcement looks like, because they can issue a statement and say that they don't stand for it and that they don't want it to be a part of their events. But I mean, if you've looked, turn on the TV this morning, those in the infields of those tracks, it's a sea of Confederate flags. And what happens when they go in there and say, you got to take that down? What happens at that point?
They take them just like they would take signs from an NBA game, just like they take signs sometimes at football games. Like that's it. It's up to the ushers.
But will they, considering that most places are going to be in the South? I mean, they have one or two races, I think, in California and a couple other little states. But most of the NASCAR is in the South. And on top of that, who are you asking to go take them? Are you asking the police force to take them? Or you ask the normal security and ushers?
Yellow jackets.
My guess is the security would have to do that, yeah.
But it's a numbers game, though, too. Think of it, like you said, George, if you have an inappropriate sign at an NFL game, they take
it. Yeah.
They take your sign at an yeah. NFL game.
Right, they and they do it at the NBA, too. Yeah.
They won't even let you bring them in NFL games. I don't know how people get them in, because I think they stopped that a long time ago, but somehow people still figure out how to smuggle them into the games. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to see a Confederate flag at a NASCAR event
right.
anymore, period. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Nobody ever wanted to see it in the past, but for whatever reason,
yeah.
they allowed it to happen. And I think their partners, these television networks and some of their sponsorships as well, probably told them, we don't want to see it anymore. So as soon as Mr. Wallace decided to see it, they got on board. The George yeah. Sedano Show coming up. George yes. is going to handle it from here.
Yes, see ya.